Shalom, everybody. Good to see you all. And believe you me, I was going to ask you to give me your question, so that maybe will be a good introduction. I respect your disagreement. So let's continue. Hold on. There is a follow-up question. Go ahead, please.
I may be able to clarify that.
Go ahead.
Basically, I think there is a paradox that in concentration camp, there were two sets of people who were subjected to the same problem. One of them reacted differently, one deteriorated and couldn't make it, and the other one, confronting the same situation, was able to overcome it and become a better person. Maybe in this case, you are right. It's not the father's fault. The child could have made a decision, and I agree with her. It's not that the child came, knowing that the father is going to choose his father, because it says, against your will you come to this world, and against your will you will go away. You have no control over that. The only thing I think would be completely true is the child could have different reactions. He could have confronted, abused, and made something good out of it, or he may have succumbed to the pressure and become someone worse. So you are right, the responsibility is on the child.
Okay. I respect both explanation and the question. And I honestly tell you, it's extremely a sensitive statement. And I am glad to say that the statement is not my statement. My backup to this is Zohar. And it's the following reasoning. And allow me to explain it. And the question is, do we choose our parents? And the answer directly is yes. Prior coming, this is the following. When a father and mother, at the time that they want to procreate, both have a defined consciousness of that moment. Whatever their head trip is, that's their consciousness. And the moment that the sperm goes and connects with a certain consciousness that the man had and the woman had, and that consciousness affects the egg, and that consciousness of man affects the sperm, these two get together and unite, and they make a unit, and there is a cell. That consciousness immediately, God, the Creator, knows the neshama that can go to this vessel and will be best for it to achieve its standing that is required to acquire. Okay? Calls the neshama. Literally sends for the neshama to come in. And shows the neshama. And the Zohar goes into a very specific detail. That, look, this is your father, this is your mother. And this is the process. This is the characteristic of the father, this is the characteristic. This is you. This neshama looks at it. And at first request, please do not send me down. As a matter of fact, says God, is good. Tovli, it says, it is good for me to stay here. Don't send me down. Because recognizes through the hardships and the heartbroken and all the pains of life that has to go. and sees the whole beginning to the end. But he doesn't see the result. What he sees only the process. And it's a beautiful question too, because it's going to fit into our lesson. Looks at the process and sees the process is tremendously painful. And goes and asks God, don't. It is good what I am here. He says, no. Then God shows the result after the process. And upon looking at the after the process, the soul turns around to neshama and accepts willingly, because the world was created on absolutely free will to optimum. If this free will is not exercised, then the world is not world of God. Met. So the child, the neshama, that's what it is. The neshama looks and says, tovli. That means it is good for me. It's not easy. It's not maybe fairness, no disgust, but tovli, it is good for me. It is sometimes good. Yes, it is very harsh to have a father or mother, God forbid, abusive. Or whatever. But sometimes certain neshama need certain process to go through purification. Because the whole life is a system of acquiring knowledge, acquiring the wisdom of bringing about a continuity. Acquiring, that's the point, a knowledge to bring about continuity. Yes, please.
Reject Jews that really need God, and they, you know, a great deal of arrogance, and those Jews turn to other philosophies for self-validation.
I painfully agree with you, because Torah is tremendous amount of judgment, but with tremendous amount of love and affection. Tremendous amount of compassion, cares for a slightest tear, and values tear so much that says don't abuse it. Because a tear that comes out, he says there is not a gate that doesn't open in heaven. When the tear is the truth, comes on the foundation of a truth. And yes, sometimes we do go to the state of alone. Bless you. It's alone, when we are sitting alone and we review ourselves. And the tear comes out. Recognizing the lack of will that we have to do what it is necessary to be done. This is the most happiest time of a person. That recognizes that, listen, I need help. But not another help of another mortal. I need the one that created me, the one that showed me the way when I was there. Showed me, said, "List, this is the process. There is a process." Last week we discussed bread, bread of heaven and bread of the earth. We said the bread of earth has waste. Bread of heaven, which was the man, the bread of Shamayim, did not have any waste. And I want to continue this. First, to understand why the Torah chose the bread system. It could have said anything else. But why in all the foods to choose bread. It's very interesting. There are 17 nations in the world. Out of these 17 nations, there is a nation of Israel that has 613 mitzvot to do. Do the 17 nations have any mitzvot to do? Or they are nations with no mitzvot? The 17 nations that we call Bnei Noach, they are the nations that they were came from the children of the Noach, and they are the inclusive of these 17 nations. They have to do minimum 7 mitzvah. To make the bread from the time that you have to plow the ground, to put the seed, to water, and then draw the the wheat, and to take the wheat and to separate all the klipot and to wash it and then grind it and then put the water and put the chametz and put it into the tanur to bake it, you have to do 7 things minimum. There is a 7 minimum things you got to do. Bread represents the minimum process that you got to go in your life. That means there is nothing in this world that you will eat for free. There is nothing for free in this world, including just a simple bread. You got to go through a process. The process exists. And we explain there is 2 types of eating as whole. There is the food that I put in order to enlarge my body and to expand my body and to give energy to my body so it will be capable to do things. Don't forget we were just 1 inchy-binchy cell, practically no grams, and now we are about 100 kilo. I mean, how did we gain so much weight? 100 kilo. In your father's case, is 100 kilo. So, how did this inchy-binchy cell become 100 kilo? Which is about 225 pounds. Okay. How? It's a desire to receive. Desire to give me, give me, give me. Zohar says, why dog says, have, have, have. That means give me, give me, give me. It's the nature. And there is another type of eating that adds to us. The intellectual eating. Whenever you understand something, does it add to you? So you ate something. That is eating too. The one that adds to your intellect, it's called bread of the man, Shemayim. The one that has a waste. Now, is the what you can put in your head can have waste too? Yes, absolutely. That's the lesson of Parasha. We have a lot to talk about tonight, but we got to go slowly so I don't lose myself. It comes, the Torah says on the parasha of this week, which is Parasha Re'eh. And by the way, it's the parasha that we mevarchim chodesh, that means this Shabbat, we say bracha for chodesh of Elul. Let me very simple to say Elul. Elul is a foundation. It's the yesod. It's the mezuzah of next year. I want to teach you quickly. You know what mezuzah is? What mezuzah is? Who doesn't know mezuzah? Everybody knows. Where is the mezuzah? It's the opening of the door. That means prior you go in, you gotta have the mezuzah. The mezuzah is what it does to you, supposedly protects you, takes all the bad out, and only lets the good in. Elul is the mezuzah of next year. When the next year going to start? Rosh Hashanah. Bravo. 30 days before going into a new year, which is Rosh Hashanah. That 30 years is called Elul, and that's why Elul is the Reshei Tevot, is the beginning words of Ani Ledodi, Vedodi Li, I am to my beloved and beloved to me. Which means, simple language, very simple language, that 30 days, God is extremely available for you. Ani Ledodi. I'm just, you don't need to go to my secretary and write, make an appointment, and maybe I have time or maybe I don't have time. I don't know whether you are a good boy to talk to you. I don't know. I can't waste my time. All throughout the year, you gotta really practically kill yourself till God sits down and have an appointment with you. But in Elul, I am available. Take me. Ani ledodi vedodi li. And that's why it's a mezuzah leshana. That means, prior I go to Rosh Hashanah, I have 30 days of setup, fix everything, get rid of everything bad. Whatever the mezuzah does is to get rid of the bad and let the good to continue. I don't want to carry all the garbage of last year to the next year. Would you like to?
No.
Just review quickly last year. Did you have everything was goody, 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 muchi, 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 good, nicey, nicey, nicey? Okay, you want to get rid of all the bad parts? You got 30 days. Up to you. So this is why the Torah comes and tells me the following way. And that's the parasha. Re'eh. I'm talking to you. Do you see what I'm talking to you? What do you mean? Do you see what I'm talking to you? What that means? Why do I use the word, do you see what I'm talking to you? Seeing what the seeing God, I should say, do you understand what I'm talking to you? Why do I say, do you see what I'm saying? Why do I say, do you see? What I mean by that?
Understand.
Which understanding? It's a mental seeing. What is mental seeing? I want to bring you a very important point of Jewish life. You start a business. You want to get married. You want to do anything. How do you know that this is going to be 100% successful or not successful? You start a business. How do you know that in this business that you're going to start, there is bracha or there is no bracha?
Confidence.
Oh. And you think it's going to make it? Bezrat Hashem, yes. But with Bezrat Hashem, but do you know there is bracha in it? Many businesses, I promise you, I can testify it. You put your head, you put the head of your head, you put the head of your father, you put the head of 50 other smart guys, and you bring experts, and you pay for that, and you put for this, and it's a flop. Can happen. Because this is the world of good and bad. What really Moshe is teaching us is how to see, re'eh. See, to acquire that insight, to recognize in what I am going to do, has a bracha or doesn't have a bracha. What is the opposite of bracha? First, let's understand what bracha is. Bracha is that energy force. Bracha is that energy force that you require to acquire in order to accomplish your task in this world. Without the bracha, you will not make it. Spiritually, I'm talking. Now, why do I need the spiritual? Let me have a good body and forget about the spirit. He says, listen. And I'm giving you an example, good example. Your body gets damaged. Your body gets old. Your body breaks. You tear a muscle. do you think heals you? I swear to you. If you have a strong neshama that is happy with his body, that means the neshama says, this body has done me good. No matter what difficulty, including Sartan, including the worst tumor in the world, the neshama is there to heal you. Because the neshama doesn't get the tumor, the body gets the tumor. But the neshama is free. Neshama shenatata bi tahorai. Neshama is tahor. You cannot give Sartan to neshama. But if the neshama sees this body is dear, good, that is ready to do, willing to do the job, it will do its best to heal you, to help you, to heal you. And in case you are even clinical, that means you need a clinical help, that means you need, God forbid, even operation, the neshama will set you up that the best that can do it for you, the best will be found, and the best will do the clinical work. And don't doubt it. It is the work of the neshama. The neshama is not only the taker. The neshama is a giver. The only thing that neshama has to be happy with the body. So what Moshe is teaching us here, in this parasha, is how to find the inside, to recognize and to find in every aspect of my life what has bracha or what not have a bracha. So the Torah continues and says, Re'eh, Anochi noten, I am giving you, noten, it's a gift. Noten is a matana, it's a gift. Lefaneichem. Here, you know what? I have a tray here for you. And in this tray, I have a bracha, and I have another concept, Lefaneichem Hayom, I am putting it in front of you today, bracha veklala. I have a tray for you. There is in this tray two things for you to choose. That means you have the free will, you got to choose. You're going to make the choice. There is a bracha and there is a klala. Now what's the klala? Many people who don't have good idea about what Torah is talking about, unfortunately, they think it's a curse. And it's not a curse. Klala, people who know Hebrew, what's klala?
This is something bad about
you. You see? No.
It's a curse.
No. Yes, it's negative, maybe, yes, close, but... Now, what this is klala? Let me explain this. You know the mouth of people? What is in the mouth of person?
Teeth.
Now, imagine, take all the teeth out. Look at me. There's a teeth. All the teeth, 32 pieces, take it out. How do I look? Ugly. So klala is a vessel which is empty. There's no bracha in it. It's a vessel. I tell you another thing. Another way to look at it. Because kalel means a vessel. It's a vessel. But without anything in it. Empty. It's void. What that means? Many, many times, I'm sure all of you know, we work hard. Lot of energy. Lot of everything into it. But at the end, empty. Nothing comes out of it. I mean, why? I honestly worked hard. I went on time to work. I opened the store on time. I my heart was into it. Every customer came. I took care of it. But you know, at the end, didn't make it. No profit. That's a kalala. Literally kalala. So kalala is something that you do, but there is no bracha in it. It's void. But I did so much. I spent so much time. Now imagine that you go through your life and at the end you open your hand and you say, my God, what happened? Where did it go? How did I lost it? Empty. That's kalala. So God says, look, I give you a choice. Lefanechem hayom. I do give you a choice. Don't tell me I don't. Because the foundation of the creation is on free will. Hayom noten lachem et haklala, et habracha, et haklala. And let's continue what it says afterward. And he says, et habracha. Now, what is et? And I want you to slowly understand the language. The first letter of Hebrew is Aleph. The end letter of Hebrew is Taf. So Aleph to Taf. So et is Aleph to Taf. Is nothing missing in it what I'm giving you. Is this bracha that I'm giving you, don't think there is an iota millimeter of anything missing. It's et. In English they say it's it. They made a mistake. It's et. Okay? So, I had to wake you up a little bit. So, he says, et habracha asher tishmeu el mitzvot Adonai Elohechem asher anochi metzave otchem hayom. It's very simple. You want a bracha? I give you a mitzvah. I give you a key. A mitzvah is nothing but a key. And we're going to slowly learn how to use these keys. Because every key you open, you will find Osher. You will find Osher with Aleph and Osher with Ein. That means the Osher of spiritual wealth and physical wealth. Hey, God doesn't want to take me here out of this world without a Rosh Hashanah. If I want to have a Rosh Hashanah, He gives me a Rosh Hashanah. Don't doubt it. But I got to earn it. Got to earn it. And earn it correctly. I get from it and this. So he says, this, there is a mitzvah. As a matter of fact, there is a yichud. As a matter of fact, there is a code that Moshe is teaching us here, that how to have the insight that anything I do in my life, to see whether this what I'm going to do has a bracha or doesn't have a bracha. If it doesn't have a bracha, it's a void, I'm not going to do it. Now imagine, I want to bring another example. I know there are million magazines available for us to read. There are a bunch of lot of magazines that the youth loves to look at. So what is the latest style? Who married who? Who divorced who? Who went to the party? Who went to this? Who did that? Who whoop? And which swimming pool party? Which in the wedding? What happened? Correct? I don't have to name them. Now, you sit down and you say, no, the excuse. I want to relax. I spend 1 hour reading those magazines. And then it becomes habit of you to go through those magazines. Tell me, what bracha do you get out of this? That's klala. Available, and by the way, you pay for it. And it's expensive. You pay for it. But if they see that you're a good boy or a good girl and you register your name and they send you to your home, so they are sure that you accepted, registered for klala, they give you a hefty discount. That's our reality. That's our sad reality. We sit down hours by television and we look at things that the end bottom line, we don't gain nothing. We eat food that at the end we don't gain nothing. We eat, we only enlarge. That's it. And that's klala. Because I have to carry the weight. I have to huff and puff because I only enlarged and I didn't gain by that enlargement. Now this is a food for thought. And then it goes to the next pasuk, and then I will go, we start our lesson, and he says, the haklala im lo tishmeu el misvot Adonai Elohechem v'saratem min haderech. You looked at the derech. What is derech? Is the road. He says, yes, I give you a mitzvah, you didn't listen to your God, and you know what? He said, God, you know this process you're giving me to do? I don't like this process. I have an easier way. There's a shortcut. I don't know why don't you see this shortcut. This is too difficult. I have an easier way to do it. Suddenly you know better than God. So he said, you're not God, I accepted, I invited you to become the king of my world. I gave you my throne, I accept to follow you, but I see you are giving me too many difficult roads. I don't like this difficult road. I have a better road, God. So he says, yo, you sarate mi aderech. You took, I told you to go this way, you said this way. It's a story in Zohar comes, he says, there is a guy that's in a hurry to get it to a city. In a hurry. Emergency. He runs, and he sees this city, right? He says, yes, God, I'm getting close. And as soon as he gets close, he sees there's two roads now. He says, yeah, what am I going to do? There is two roads. And he says, right in smack in the middle of the road, a kid sitting. He says, the kid, listen, I am in a hurry. Which road is the fastest, closest to the city? He says, if you go this road, it's short, but it's long. But if you go to this road, it's long, but it's short. He says, do you speak English? Which one is the shortest? I'm in a hurry. He says, look, this one is short, but it's long. But this one is long, but it's short. So he says, this one is short? He says, yeah, this one is short, but it's long. He says, but it's short? He says, yeah. He takes the short road. He goes. He has about close to the city, make the border of the city. And he says, wow, there is a broken dam or something, and the road is cut off, and there is no way to cross. So what he has to do? He has to come back and go to the long way. That's what the kid was telling him. The kid telling him, look, if it is good, this is really the short way, but because of what has happened at the end of the road, you cannot make it to the city. So it's really the long way. So don't go the long way. This is the long way, really. That's what God, but in reality, it's shorter than this one. So that's exactly the same story between us and God. God shows us the road. We say, God, I have a shorter way. Why are you showing me the long way? So, it comes and says the following. Hashem Elohim etzavo otchem hayom lalechet acharei Elohim acharim. Don't make anybody else your God. You accepted me to be your God. You made your choice. Stick with me. Don't get yourself another God. It's like you come to the rabbi or to your teacher. He says, you know what? Please give me an advice. I really want your advice. I want to take your advice and I want to follow your advice. And you give advice to the person. And you know what the person does? Next day he goes to another rabbi. And he says, Rabbi, I have a question. So finally, one of the rabbis gets the smart. He says, how many rabbis did you go to? He says, about 5-6 rabbis. He said, why? Because all the derech, all the ways, and all the answers they gave me, I didn't like. So he kept on looking for a rabbi that gives him an answer that he likes. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. It's not going to work. So the Rebbe comes here to our Savior, and I want to follow what the Rebbe says here, and it helps us tremendously to understand this problem. He says, wisdom is described with analogy to food. Really, wisdom is food too. And we discussed bread of heaven, and we discussed the bread of shame from, and we started from the last week, bread of heaven and bread of earth, and bread from the earth called mortal intellect. Follow? Bread of earth is called mortal, and we said bread of earth has waste. Bread of Shamayim doesn't have waste. And the bread from the heaven is called divine intellect. This is not difficult to understand up till here. He says, usually, when we use a mortal intellect, because we comprehend the idea, and because we understand, and because we see at the end result, there is satisfaction in the mortal intellect. There is always satisfaction in a mortal intellect, because the mortal intellect explains, and you see the explanation, you understand the explanation, as because you see and you see is like the bread that you eat. It's bread of Shamayim. Do you see? You don't see. We said, what was the problem of bread of Shamayim? Bread of Shamayim is whatever you wanted to taste, the food taste, it tasted. If you wanted the steak brion, you would get filet mignon. Whatever you wanted your steak, you would get it. But what was the problem? The guy was eating a steak, but he was not seeing no steak. That was the problem. I like to see what I eat. So the type of a bread of this earth and the intellect of mortal is something that I can see and I can visualize. So that brings me satisfaction, immediate satisfaction. But a bread of Shamayim, the intellect divine, I don't see. And because I don't see, it doesn't bring me satisfaction. As a matter of fact, the mortal intellect makes me proud because it shows degree of smartness, capability, strength, and the brings sense of proudness. Now, the divine intellect, the more you know, the more trial happens. You understand how much you know and what causes you. What causes the shine? Boker Tov. What causes the shine? What causes the bread of mortal bread? It causes pain. The bread of shine causes humbleness. And we know that God hates pride. So you say, Annie? No, I did. What God does? He takes it away. He says, let this guy play his own games. Oh, it's only if he loves you. He doesn't care, he lets you play the kala. He lets you play the void, and you will play and play and play until one day. You say, this is a very good saying. There's enough rope to hang yourself. But in Kislav, he cares for you. He kicks you. So wake up, smell the coffee. But let's. There is something Rebbe explains, it's very important. The more you have knowledge, you have more pain in your life. First understand this. The more you acquire knowledge in your life, you will feel pain more. Now, should I go after this knowledge or no? Because the knowledge is going to bring pain. And I'm warning you. Pain. Real pain. Pain. You know, I said it in fact, I want to say it and get it out of my chest. One of the pains is such. Eretz Yisrael, the country of Canaan, went through 30 days of totally painful day and night. And a lot of young people got killed. A lot of people lost businesses, homes. A lot of people gave up. A lot of people want to leave Eretz Yisrael now. And Eretz Yisrael used tremendous amount of power who literally destroy many villages and many things and many things, hoping that this will be resolved. Correct? Now, after 3 days, let's look back 56 years. When they say that Israel was getting created, there was an argument whether to put in the article Hashem, Hashem or not. And they came to an understanding that, look, we want to be a democratic country. Those who are Israelis, they can be if one word I say is not true. We want to have a democratic country, and that was exactly more. We want democracy exactly like the United States of America. And they followed state of democracy. They established state of democracy. They said religiosity is acceptable in a state of democracy. This is what democracy dictates. But if you are free to exercise your religion, you want to be religious? Be religious, no problem. Want to be exercising Jew? No problem. Be exercising. You don't want to be exercising Jew, it's fine. And if you want to eat, it's fine too. Nobody's going to bother you. And if you want to drive on Shabbat, drive on Shabbat too. Nobody's bothering. That's the crossing. Now go back to the 30 years that passed. The United States of America decided 2 years ago, 5 years ago, to go and establish democracy in Babel, child Iraq today. Correct? Because Babel is the same state of Iraq right now that America is trying to establish. Democracy. But not knowing that the energy of this state defines anti-democracy. And is this state is there, Babel is there to explain the definition to define what anti-democracy is. Not democracy, but democracy. And by force, America has to change the definition. Successful? No. Is he looking a way to get out? Yes, because it's not implementable. Now, is the Jewish state has to be a democratic state? And this is not a political stage, but I want you to understand how could have looked at it 30 days ago without having 100 soldiers dead and 150 guards, 100 people just crying today. Did they see? Oh, we want to establish democracy. Who brought the concept of democracy into this world? Torah? Torah is against democracy 100%. Who? Really? You think free will democracy? Free will is real for people, and we say alpha 3 people is fornication, the strong man is good, therefore the law says the fornication is good. Is that democracy? Because majority says yes, it is good. Okay, that's what I will want to fight. We'll go slowly, because then I want to give you this lesson. A lesson that we are talking about. Democracy, I want to go back into history. In history, who defined what democracy is? Who brought the word democracy? Where is the root of the word democracy? Greek. Who wrote about it? Who wrote a whole book called Democracy? Greek. Who wrote it? Come on, Abbasu. Come on, Socrates. No, I have to wrote it a book of democracy. What democracy is? Now, when Abbasu was the period of Hellenism, this is where I can make our lessons. Hellenism, when was the Jewish God totally destroyed and you are separated from Torah? Hellenism. The fight was not on the ground, and today the fight is not on the Jerusalem to whom it belongs. The fight is not about village. The fight is not about the border. The fight is on ideology. The fight is not on the matter of the land. The fight is, look, you are a Jew, but you don't act like one. At the beginning, they know that the Rabbi, the owner of the house, is accurate as Israel, and they were afraid that the Rabbi is the best man. He's the rule. They respected him. And this is a very story, true story. One of those terrorists, they got, they put in prison. And this guy, after 9 years in prison, they gave him to cause. Who have parents and clarity? God's parents is, you know, I will come to the conclusion that I cannot fight with Jews. It's the Jews are really, really strong. Not give up this idea of being terrorist. That it was the Passover. And he sits in the cell, and he knows he's Arab, he's living in the country, he knows what's going on in Pesach. And he says, so your house, he takes bread and eats the bread. He takes a piece of paper, he writes it, this is a map, this is the truth. He writes to his parents again. He says, guys, I told you the phone, give up to be terrorist. Wrong. Continue, we're going to be successful. These guys are not Jews. Just remember. You got it?
Passover.
Hello? If a soldier doesn't believe, if a soldier, the biggest soldier of Israel, the day before he fought those and serves all his stack, prior to the Hanukkah, he says, prior to the war, he says, you know what? There's no big war. I'm going to lose a lot of money. So I better go and sell my stocks. How can the general you are if you don't believe you're going to win? You have the Jew fought as you live in them. We're losing it. We lost this war. I said, wake, look, he stands, and he says, we are winner, and that winner. Before for every 100 Israeli soldiers, 10,000 Arab soldiers will get killed. 100 to 10,000. Now 100 to 500. And they are happy to be 12 dead, and 12 alive. That's it? Where's the soldiers? That's, we are the Jews. We are the problems. They are not the problem. I'm not England, then in me. Stand here. It's easy to talk like this here. Go and face the war. That's difficult. That is God. If your heart is out too, that's peace. May I have the privilege of knowing your Hebrew name? Adam. Please. For 3,000 pounds, please. The state of Israel against Hezbollah. 3,000. So please. 3,000 tushas was from Hezbollah sent to Eretz Israel. Father. Every heap of Israeli bombs, perfect. Imagine. If there were 3,000 perfect tushas, could it happen? Isn't that giving you credit? Saying, look, baby, I love you, but come on, wake up, smell the coffee. Oh, here we go. No, change the word. Meat. God doesn't need my mother. But that's going to bless the other. We're listening to things. This is the beauty of, I appreciate this. Honestly, I was not going to. There is a writing, and I bring you always in the zone. It's all the writing I call them now. That the literal translation is that you haven't seen the whole picture yet. I've seen only a quarter of the picture. Oh, it's easy to say. It's self-relief. Absolutely. And you know why the world is disappointed to use today? Because not there are not that much of the young people that are supposed to be. Huh? Because honestly, how much our work is Baha? Everyone individually can, because release is a very private affair. Go to yourself this time. Check out yourself. How much of your work is for sake of Baha? How much of your work is for Kalala? Kalala is superficiality. That means anything that's superficial. Anything that is for outside. Not inside. Empty inside. Baha. Check out. If you come as a nation of Israel, as a nation of Israel, yes, Baruch Hashem, we are doing good. But that's our responsibility to do good. But we have established 100% good. Cannot be wishy-washy. I'm not Bible for those religious fanatic of what they do. I'm absolutely against that kind of fanaticism. They have Shabbat move for you, drive, they take a stone, they come to kill you. And that is totally worse. In case when you hear this, as well, Torah, you will never leave tired. Indeed, it leads to self-nullification. That Torah brings you to self-nullification. And that's as the Quran, chapter 1, verse 18 says, as one has knowledge, one increases pain. The more one studies the Torah, the more one feels an acute lack in one's comprehension. The more I know Torah, I realize that God, how much I am weak in my comprehension and my understanding, my setting things. And this is the truth. The more you know the Torah, you see things. And you say, God, what you are, what the Malachim say, what the Tach say, what we saw every day is not the day. He says, this is what's going to happen to you. Busy what's out of things. He's going to give me all that nobody's going to hear to listen to. Torah mistake. Torah has a dimension, by the way. Torah has the dimension of what we call Nigele. That means it's revealed. We realize. It says, don't kill. I mean, no killing is no good. Torah the aspect that it says, don't eat milk and meat. For a long time, I don't understand why it's not good to eat milk and meat. It's really delicious. Why are you telling me not to eat? Then come to a realization that is really for the embodiment of you. Milk and meat is poison. Bruce pain in the body. Yet, if you let go and not be I want to enjoy the pleasure of the food that I want to choose and I want to eat. I'm not even ready to give up on stomach. And yet I want to give the control of my work to God. My name, by word, isn't that making me a wishy-washy person? No. Or I say, you know, God, you take over. Everything's you. That's the least of my responsibility. I'm not ready to take responsibility. So that's how we last week started, and that's what God brings bread. That's what God discussed eating. That's why God said, Baha. Is that what you put, you are what you need. You eat pig, you act like a pig. You eat kosher, you have put yourself kosher into yourself. What does kosher mean? It's kosher. It's to create a kosher with your creator. If you do not follow the kosher and you start explaining what kosher is, oh really the kosher is like this, like that, and this is okay, and that is okay, and I'm starting to read. Give this on my stomach. Make a commitment to God with. Then push. Start. You cannot accept a spirituality that's holiness to come to you. You're not there. You're free. And then you blame it.
blame it, but you say, you know, I told Esther, I told her, I said, I picked the boy, I said to my mother, I said, I did this, I did that. But the same question at the beginning, did you what you put food into your mouth, was it kosher? No. It's not going to be. It's not wish-wash business. It's not half enough. So that's why, again, there is a perfect toilet is revealed, and that perfect toilet is revealed of negative. It has a concept of wasting it. And it comes from the Torah. There is an aspect of the Torah which is continued of the Torah, which is the Kabbalah, which is the Zohar, which is the renewed internalization of the Torah. That doesn't have weight, because there is no end to it. And you keep on starting, you keep on studying. It's not ever that you want to ever reach the end, because you never reach the end. That's what makes the waste. There is no end to it. And so you accept, no matter I'm trying, it's not, the purpose is not for me to reach the end. The purpose for me is to observe moment, to gain what I can right now. Make good right now. To be a good Jew right now. I am in human free will. There's a trail in front of me as we discussed. There's a Baha, there's a Kerala. For me to go to this restaurant or choose not to eat. And go home to eat, because if I go to this restaurant, all that is this restaurant is not kosher. I'm not going to eat. You made a choice. You went hungry. The knowledge of kashrut made you pain. But you became in charge. You are in charge. That is the difference. That you become in charge of your life or not in charge of your life. If you cannot handle your stomach, if you cannot eat only your stomach, all right, for 15 minutes, 1 hour, 2 hours, half a day, until you find the kosher. You're very hungry? Okay, go on, pick an apple. By the way, say the bracha. Before you say bracha, wash it. It's no good if you don't wash it. Take an apple. Yeah, but I don't like a pear. That's a fact. That's where we are. And if we don't make this difference, it's not going to be. What he said, the Rebbe comes here and says, I'm going to teach you guys that what your Yetzer is going to argue about follow the Torah or not follow the Torah. Because it says the Torah, are you going to understand the Torah? Are you going to know the Torah? Are you going to know all the meaning of the Mitzvot? So are you going to learn? You're not going to learn that anyway. So we want to learn something that you already know, all the give it up. Go learn something that you will learn the end you will enjoy. Come on. Most learn a lot of teaches you the fact of life. You don't know the bottom line, this is it. You know, Mr. President, give you 7 years of spirituality and done it. Why do you have to study so many years and you're not telling me I will never reach the end? I don't have anything against the chuba, by the way. Because the first step of 7 years of not, you gotta do. Still, you don't have to kill. So many of those nations that they killed, they're not following the word of God. The same God that is my God and their God, and my God and the only God told him, told me, don't kill. And if he kills, he's against God. Very simple. But it's not my business to judge him, because God's going to judge him. So this man argues that the Torah says, the Torah is unlimited. What do you want to learn about something that's unlimited? Sometimes you put first 2 years, 3 years. There was time that I was putting too much time on the same Torah. I was neglecting my life. Simple. So you know, Joseph, so many times that you put on the Torah, you don't get a doctor, didn't you? You can get $5. I couldn't answer that. This is, my dear lady, the point is I haven't finished. I cannot finish. There's no end to this. It's going to continue. Why I have to learn in 12 years till I have to die in my life? I have to die now and then. I know it, I love it, I understand it, I can play a game with it. It's a life for me. Life is not there, huh? Is that a responsibility that I have to consider too? So something smart to be in touch. Before you can balance, you have to start for basic. Basic touch first. Never let die. Wash your hand, because if your hand is not holy, your food is not going to be holy. You take the best of a bad kosher food, and if your hand is not, you have a bad kosher food, a tamu food. That's no one. If you step that, a person who is a lecturer here, you've been the student of the Torah, step one, Netilat Yadayim. Netilat Yadayim. And it's very simple meditation on Netilat Yadayim. They say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Asher Bishanu, Al Misotav, Tivanu, Al, first word of Al, Ayin. Netilat, the first word, Nun. Yadayim, Yud, Ayin. Nun, Yud is Ad. I'm standing in front of you and doing Netilat Yadayim, because I am Ami, I am poor. I know everything. I know of everything. Okay, kosher. Here it is. I raise my hand. I bring my hand and I open my hand as well pride. That is for bracha. And I am ani of bracha. Not under anything else but bracha. That's the secret of my life. To recognize that I am ready to receive bracha. Then, over the kashrut. The aspect of the three, as far as the first material design, the right which is love gives it to Gevura. And also the Gevura to obey to love. That means judgment to be for sake of love. Judgment not to be rash judgment. You tell her what word in Kabbalah. Baha. You take the Baha we love, Chore. You give to the left, which is Gevura, which is judgment being, and he serves the Chesed. So he serves the Chesed. And then he takes the right, then sweetens the judgment. Now three times. Because we have right, left, and center. Because we are based on three levels, three parts. Body, three parts. Season,
three parts. Hand, three parts. Fathers, three. Abraham, Isaac, Yaakov. Every season, three. Electron, proton, neutron, that's three items, and you gotta have these three in order to make atom. An atom is the DNA of everything that exists. So everything's born. So what do atom? Science and atom are you for? Simple. But already I started to look at those. So this is, do you think who I am? Do you know what? The son of Abraham, Yaakov. Don't think about atoms. No matters. Say who you are, we have a contract. So can he? She came. Is everybody kidding? Those who are kids kidding. It's not free entrance. Now, again, the only thing I do, not at all. What? Very nice. We are in the name. What do you do?
I mean, don't you tell
me? I get up, I say, each, hold on. I go for him, and then I do the each of Kedusha. Next, I say, because it's Kadosh. That's why he says, hey, see, I tell you, never know you to wait. This is the game. You choose. You want your baby to start the Kalabra. What you want? Because give me. These ways, you can do a whole lot of work. Hard work. Hard. They will give you a medal for hard work. But at the end of the result, nothing. Do you think what is without pain? No, there is pain. Do you think there is a process without pain? Impossible. Every process involves pain. What kind of pain do you want? A normal Jew, says, look. First, I want to go through the pain and have a very strong heart, because if my heart is not strong, I can have a heart attack. And I want to have confidence when I go through pain. Confidence, everything is going to be okay. And no, I want to go through the pain, and I have to go through the pain with joy. Is it possible to go through pain with joy? Tell me, is it possible? You got to answer me. Possible? Admit this. Very simple. Do you love your work?
Yes.
If you love your work, the work is a process. It's difficult. Sometimes failure, sometimes success, sometimes failure, sometimes good, sometimes bad. But at all times, you are confident that you are doing good, and you are going to do good, and you are going to be successful, and you have the joy going to work, and you love your work, you accept the pain, and you